thanks go to Hartbury University and College, Harper Adams University, NFU Mutual, Thring Solicitors, DataTag, and Nugent Engineering for supporting Series 2 of Keeping on Track. Hi, I'm Adam Henson. Welcome to the second series of Keeping on Track, a podcast series made by the farming community for the farming community. You don't need me to tell you that inspections have a big impact on our mental health. Some of us will know farmers who have taken their own lives as a result of the outcomes of a farm inspection. The Farmer's Guardian wrote a piece on it last year, and it's our subject today.
Thank you, Adam. I'm Dominic Arkwright. Today, this.
She went round checking the farm, and I remember sitting in my office, waiting. You know, like the condemned man waiting to go to the gallows. And even though I knew I didn't have anything to worry about.
It's a bit like Chinese water torture, because it's just drip, drip, drip. It's never ending.
A lot of livestock farmers I know, they treat their cows as colleagues and friends. And when, you know, when they've got to be taken away through essentially no fault of their own, you know, it must be really difficult for them.
Yes, we're talking about inspections, or in the new less scary language, visits. There are visits from the Rural Payments Agency, Red Tractor, supermarkets, the Animal and Plant Health Agency, and many, many others. And they're a big source of anxiety for farmers, as you know. In this programme, we're going to look at some of them and see what we can do to make them less stressful. We'll start with Trevor Clegg, who's recently downsized his dairy farm and moved to Dorset.
Although it was a scheme that was initiated by farmers, I think it's now become a bit of a monster, really, is the Red Tractor scheme, because it doesn't seem to us that we actually get a premium for our product, because product produced in other countries to a lower standard is brought in to compete with us, so it's not quite a level playing field. And actually, I was at a little meeting a couple of days ago with some non-farmers talking about something else, and only one person there had ever even heard of the Red Tractor, which was shocking, really, because obviously if it's not known very well what the Red Tractor is, then what's the point of doing it?
And Red Tractor carries out around 60,000 inspections a year, some of them unannounced. Arable farmer Charles Anion doesn't mind this one.
The RPA inspection is far more stressful than the Red Tractor inspection. The Red Tractor inspection just takes up an awful lot of time sorting out all the paperwork, making sure you remember where the paperwork is. And I quite enjoy the Red Tractor inspection. There's an awful lot of stuff in it which they could get rid of. There's an awful lot of, for want of a better word, rubbish in it. But I think in the general, the Red Tractor done correctly does make me a better farmer. A lot of people are going to shoot me for saying that, but I do think it does give us a bit of discipline, but it could be streamlined. But I don't find it stressful because I prepare for it, and when the inspector comes, he's got everything he needs. I do it all on my iPad. It takes us about an hour and a half. We have a nice chat. I make him a coffee. And it's quite a pleasant hour and a half, really, but it's taken probably 3 days to get to that point. The RPA, I think they've changed the inspection since we last had one. I think they're more now working with us. But I remember the last time we got an RPA inspection, and this lady turned up from the RPA, and she was very nice. She was very nice. Her knowledge probably wasn't great. She went around checking the farm, and I remember sitting in my office waiting, you know, like the condemned man waiting to go to the gallows. And even though I knew I didn't have anything to worry about, it was a very stressful time. But she was lovely, and, you know, when she finished, she gave us things. She gave us a list of things that we could do to improve, and we weren't docked any money, which is always the big worry. Looking back on it, it was quite a pleasant time.
Then there are the inspections that are basically forced on us by supermarkets and purchasers. I think those are probably the ones that
farmers resent the most. I do, because as far as I can see, we're not really getting anything for it. Food is imported from across the world, and a lot of it is produced to standards much lower than ours. Some is produced in ways that would be illegal in this country, and that just doesn't seem right.
That was Trevor Kligg again, but there's another inspection, or visit, which is maybe the worst of all, TB.
It's a bit like Chinese water torture, because it's just drip, 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 it's never ending. When you have a TB test on your cattle, the best outcome is that you're just the same as you were before the test. Nothing's any better, but at the end of the test, it can be really disastrous. And I think most farmers have felt that for a long time that government is not interested in sorting that one out. But, I mean, physically doing the TB testing is demanding. It takes a lot of time. I don't mind too much doing the first half of the tests with the injections. But on the reading day, I've never actually been physically ill, but I've felt it on numerous occasions. And you can't relax until the very last animal goes through the crush, because it could be the last one that causes the problem. And every time the vet catches one and says, is there measuring it, you're expecting some bad news.
And probably no farmer has had more bad news than Joe Goodenough and his family. Joe's only 25 and a PhD student at Hartbury University, but his family has had a harrowing time. At one point, they farmed 1,000 head of dairy cattle, now down to 90.
So I think we at one point almost held the record for the longest time of having TB in the country. Most of my life that I can remember, we've been down with TB on 3 monthly testing every time. There is at least one that fails. We were lucky enough that we never had the whole herd taken, although I think sometimes we kind of wish it was, however awful that would have been, because that routine of every 3 months knowing, oh yeah, we test on the first day, we test on the fourth day, there will be one that goes. I think that's always been a shock to the system, and even now we only have 90 cows. We tested the other week and still two failed. And you sit there and think, how? I think we've probably all become habituated to it, in the sense of we've been dealing it for 13 odd years. Bring on the next test in that sense. I can't imagine what it felt like for my dad and my grandfather and the farm staff. But it means that we've never sent a group of cows to a traditional market in that long, which made packing up the farm twice as hard. You have that many cows and you have two routes, Orange Market, fail TB, or on a lorry straight to the abattoir. And that's kind of the only routes we had.
An absolutely terrible time for Joe and his family. Let's hear now from Stuart Roberts, cereal and cattle farmer in Hertfordshire and recent deputy president of the NFU.
TB testing is a pressure, I'm almost going to say, like no other, okay? I'm sure there are other examples, but it's certainly the one of the ones I've seen that is so challenging for farmers. And it is, as I say, a pressure like no other. The stress it brings on them, the anxiety it brings on them, the depression it brings on them, it is horrendous. I don't know the answer, okay? Because the reality is we do need to test for TB. We do need to get rid of TB from this country, okay? That absolutely is happening without getting into politics of it. That has got to happen, and there are a number of things that need to happen to make that outcome come true. But until that happens, every single cattle keeper in the country will go through this period, and some of them very frequently with absolutely devastating results. The one thing, there are lots of other farmers who are going through exactly the same thing, with exactly the same fears, with exactly the same challenges. And please, please, pick up the phone, talk to them, share your concerns, your anger, your upset, your frustration, all of those emotions, because it is a horrific period of time that any farmer goes through, and unfortunately, as I say, for some, goes through very frequently.
So Stuart's message is talk to people, other farmers, your vet, the NFU, but also the TB Advisory Service. Sarah Tomlinson is its technical director.
What we do at the TB Advisory Service is to help farmers understand what they can do, that it isn't just a government-controlled disease. There are risk factors, just like any other infectious disease, that they can do something about.
And Sarah, who's a vet herself, says it can be incredibly helpful, even if you're sceptical.
I've worked with the same group of farmers here in Derbyshire, and they were kind of like, you know, what am I going to learn when you come out and do the TBAS visit? Because we talk about TB all the time. But I can honestly, genuinely say, hand on heart, that all of them afterwards says, well, I did learn something, and I now do feel a bit different about TB, and there are things I can do. And part of the visit is talking about the impact that TB would have on your business. And actually, are there things you can do through government policies to reduce the impact on your business? A lot of people have really valued that part of the visit, not necessarily looking at badger activity and what you can do to raise water troughs, but actually looking at, okay, the movement restrictions would be really hard on me because I'm about to start block calving. Normally, I'd get rid of every calf that isn't a heifer replacement at 3 weeks of age, and I'd have all those extra mouths to feed. Can I afford them? Can I get extra bedding in? Can I get extra help in? And I know you're planning for something you hope doesn't happen, and you're planning for something that will be quite impactful on your business. But knowing where those calves are going to go, those store cattle are going to go, if you're about to sell, you know, last year's calves to pay your rent, what happens if you can't sell those calves? What would your cash flow look like? It's not something farmers should do on their own, though. Sit down with your vet, with your accountant, with your bookkeeper, with your farm consultant, and say, right, what if? So I think having that plan, hopefully you never need to use it, but actually knowing that you have that plan in place, farmers have said that is a really valuable thing and does reduce the stress and anxiety around those TB tests. And we're not there to tell farmers what they're doing wrong. We're there to help them make better decisions for their farm by understanding TB in a better way. So there's always negotiation and conversations to be had, but I know there are businesses that actually the right thing to do for the people and the business is to call it a day. And that's not just through TB, is it? That's through other health and welfare issues, succession planning, anything like that. You know, sometimes it's helping farmers get out of farming, because that is the best option for everybody involved. It might not be the preferred option. And unfortunately, I do know a lot of businesses that TB has forced their hand to say, do you know what, let's call it a day.
But the clear message from Sarah Tomlinson is make plans and involve other people to help you make plans. But let's go back to inspections, or visits, in general, and the way they're carried out. Here's Stuart Roberts again.
An RPA inspection, a BCMS inspection, a red tractor inspection, they're scary inspections. Probably the very worst example of some of this that we've all seen recently by watching the news was the Ofsted inspection, where that head teacher then took her own life. You know, that for me is no different than the pressures that farmers feel. And we have heard of examples, I don't remember the detail, but I was certainly reading about one the other day, where off the back of a series of farm inspections, a farmer had taken his own life. And the inspectors have got to understand much better the whole width of pressures that farmers are under. And often the inspection is the straw that breaks the camel's back. It's the last point. And part of that is because too often we've seen inspections carried out in a hostile, aggressive, antagonistic way. And I think actually we've got to learn from others about how we do inspections in a way that, as I say, how others can help us demonstrate we're complying, rather than the current perception, which is, I'm here to try and catch you out. And I think that's the bit we've got to change. And for me, the real issue is about getting inspectors to behave in a different way. The reality is 99.999% of people are only ever looking to comply with the law, right? Most of us, most of the time, are inherently looking to comply with the law. The problem is we've almost got an inspection regime that is the classic, you're guilty until you prove proven innocent. Whereas actually I thought the law in this country was the other way around. And it is about probably the culture of the inspection, because what we see on the ground is people who are trying to catch us out, people who are trying to effectively make it, it's that classic, as I said, you know, make us out to be all guilty until we've proven our innocence, and then make it really hard for us to prove our innocence. And we've got to see people like the RPA, people like Red Tractor, people like local authorities, people like retail auditors, whatever it is, all of them looking to behave in a very different way. But then we as farmers have got to look at it in a more open way. So not look at it here as a, oh, it's another, shan't say it, inspection, but actually say, right, this is an opportunity to me to work with someone to demonstrate I'm compliant. They may pick something up which actually will make me better. And if somebody gives you some advice to improve something better, advice is a good thing. It helps me.
And Sarah Tomlinson from the TB Advisory Service reckons things are shifting. Attitudes and the nature of visits are changing for the better.
I do get to talk to the other side, so APHA vets, Environment Agency, RPA, and I try and get over to them to be mindful that, yes, what they're dealing with at that particular time is very important, and that's their main focus and their job. There are other things going on farm that they, you know, won't be aware of, and just to be mindful when they are talking, the language they use. We don't call them inspections anymore. That was quite clear guidance from government. They are visits. And even just things like that should help reduce some of that stress and anxiety around it. You know, we do have to have people that come on farm and audit things to make sure people are following rules and regulations. But there can be a way that that's done in a positive way, you know, in an advisory way. And I think, I hope the government agencies are realising that, because it, like I say, it could, the words and the language that they use could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. It's just another thing. I think, you know, at the moment, the weather is so horrific. Paperwork has increased, the red tape, the proof you've got to show that you're dealing with different things in different ways. Having that farm inspection, whether that is from the RPA, the Environment Agency, APHA, because you've got a TB breakdown, is just another thing. And it might just be the straw that breaks the camel's back. And that's why I do urge farmers, you know, talk to your vets or your consultants or anybody about your concerns and about your worries, because everybody is in the same boat.
But not always a good boat to be in. Dairy farmer Trevor Clegg, like others we've spoken to in this series, reckons inspections and the work that goes into preparing for them are a big cause of poor mental health in farming.
I mean, paperwork has become a huge issue, because for most of these inspections and schemes, everything has to be recorded. So all medicines have to be recorded, which I can see the point. All the sprays and fertilizers that are used on farms, everything has to be recorded. But the levels of recording, I think, are over the top. And the penalties that can be incurred if you don't do it.
So how big a driver is paperwork and the mounting of that to farmers' mental health?
Well, I think most farmers, we dread inspections. And because we dread the inspections, we try to make sure that all the paperwork is done. But, you know, you've tried to keep your records up to date through the year, and then you spend a day going through them again, trying to make sure that you haven't missed something somewhere.
Do you think it's something that may be the thing that pushes some people over the edge?
Oh, I'm sure it does, yeah.
Trevor Clegg, dairy farmer in Dorset. Adam, what are the inspections that you personally find most troublesome or give you the most kind of worry?
One of the topics that has come up in the interviews that you've kindly done, Dominic, is about TB. And TB inspections on farm are always difficult. We, thankfully, have now been clear for 9 years, but my heart is in my mouth every time we have an inspection, which is every 6 months. And so for farmers who have been caught in that treadmill of inspections every 60 days, because you have to have two clear tests 60 days apart to go clear as a whole herd, can go on and on for years. But also, then there's the farm inspections which are looking at the quality of what you do for assurance schemes. So you have to tick the box in all aspects of your farm, whether it's our animal handling systems, whether it's your veterinary medicine records, whether it's the way you look after your grain. And I would like to think we're a very professional business. We've got some fantastic people in our team and managers who look after many of those areas. But it's still a lot of pressure, and we don't look forward to them at all.
And one of the things that came out from Stuart Roberts, I think, was that there's a sense that the inspectors, or maybe we call them visitors, they're looking to catch you out.
I think that has been the way in the past, and perhaps that is the perception of the farmer. I think it is changing. I think we are, you know, the terminology, as you quite rightly pointed out, has moved now from inspections to visits. I think those people coming onto farms are getting better training, better understanding to consider what's going on behind the scenes. And it isn't just their job to do the inspection and to dot the I's and cross the T's and to look for trouble. It's to help and advise and guide. And that's the way it's got to be going forward. Because, you know, the pressure is there and we are, you know, on the whole, all trying to do the right thing.
Well, that's the point. There's 0.00% who are actually not trying to do the right thing. So the inspectors or visitors should really come at it from that angle.
They really should. And I think if they found out that their behaviour or the way they had carried out their job had had a major negative effect on the farmer, I hope that individual would be devastated by that. You know, they need to understand the impact that it can have. But as farmers, we also need to recognise that we need to do the right thing. We need to prepare well for these inspections. We need to make sure that our, you know, paperwork is up together and we're running a smart, tidy, sharp business and can celebrate producing some of the best food in the world.
Thank you, Adam. I'm Dominic Arkwright. That's all for now.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Keeping on Track. I hope you found things in it that were helpful for you or someone you know. If you've been affected by anything you've heard today or in any other programme, you can find more information about organisations which can provide help and support by going to teamdoctor.org/farmers. Until the next time, keep on track.